So we're going to hit you with that here at the tables. This probably is something you've thought about before, maybe discussed. Maybe you turn away from that part. You read through, okay, Jesus said, that's good, I can do that. Great story, you did great things, Jesus. Now you will do these things and even greater. Skip that chapter, keep moving on to something else. It's a little easier to take in. I don't know where you are with that verse, but we're going to explore that for a little bit. So table talk here for the next 5-6 minutes. What great things did Jesus do? Because he said, the things that I've done, you'll do greater, meaning I've done great. So around the table, what great things did Jesus do? And then what greater things did the disciples do? He predicted you'll do greater things, talking to the disciples at that time. So at your table, let's discuss those two questions for the next few minutes. What were some of the things said around your table? Would someone feel brave to kind of yell it out? All the way over here, sorry. You know, the woman who comes to Jesus who had been bleeding for 12 years, she touches the hem of his garment, she's healed. Peter passes by and people are in his shadow, and that's the verse we're going to go to in a second, so that's good. And it doesn't say exactly maybe because of Peter's shadow these people were healed directly at that moment, but it gives a lot of implication that that's probably what was happening. So, yeah, it's a good example of great and greater. Did anyone else kind of have to break down what great and greater meant just to begin with? That's what they mentioned. Like, maybe greater means numbers bigger or more people, more impact, as opposed to one-upmanship in miracles. Who else? So yeah, his mixture of humanity and divinity. So he's still tempted, but he never sinned. And maybe some of that greaterness that he's referring to is someone who is purely human, who's prone to sin, and yet has times where they overcome it through the Holy Spirit. That could even be one of those greater acts. I heard someone else mention the greater is not even saying, I did great things, / I am great, I'm Jesus. You will be greater than me, so I'm Jesus, you're greater. That would be pretty daunting to try to figure out. But more of the things that you will produce will even be greater. Any of that just sounds egotistical. Maybe you know some people who probably are well-meaning, will share stories of what they've done with God and the things that they did recently with Jesus, and they did such powerful things, God, and it's very like, I did this, and then I did that, and then I blessed that person, I blessed this person, I told him about that, oh, there's Jesus. And sometimes it sounds like someone saying, I mean, I'm great. Like, Jesus was really good too, but I just have done so much good things for Jesus. The principles of mercy, love, justice that he teaches us, and now we can go and share that to maybe wide-reaching. So one example of Jesus doing something great, the disciple doing something maybe perceived as greater, starts in Matthew 8. Matthew 8, verse 1, when he came down from the mountainside, large crowds followed him. A man with leprosy came and knelt before him and said, the table that I was just sitting at, someone kind of mentioned this idea. Jesus did do a lot of things that were in front of large crowds or feeding the 5,000. That's a huge crowd. And then he also did quite a few things that were more one-on-one, more interpersonal. So there's another way that maybe we have an opportunity to do as great or greater, because maybe we'll be able to reach more people interpersonally or in groups, whatever it might be. Here's a mixture of both of those parts of his life. A man with leprosy came and knelt before him and said, Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean. Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. I am willing, he said, be clean. Immediately he was cured of his leprosy. My cousin will read a verse like that and in the right spirit says, and that's what we should do. Go and do ye likewise. And I'm like, man, that is so great. Tell me how it went when you step out like that. And I think that's fantastic that you do that. But when I read it, the Greek, and you translate it, really means stay at home. Then you go to Acts. This is what he alluded to. Acts 5, talking about the apostles and how they were healing many. As a result, people brought the sick into the streets, and they laid them on beds and mats so that at least Peter's shadow might fall on some of them as he passed by. Crowds gathered also from the towns around Jerusalem, bringing their sick and those tormented by evil spirits, and all of them were healed. doesn't necessarily say Paul showed up and said, okay, guys, I'm here. If you'll just at least get in my shadow, everything will be okay. More of just why he was there and they're kind of busily trying to spread the message and heal people, that there were those that had such extreme faith to say, well, if we just can get close to him, and then it implies perhaps they were healed by just being in the shadow, or they were healed by being there. It kind of gives a little more context there. But the people, everyone who was there, all of them were healed. That could be an example of someone doing greater. Now, it'd be easy to say, well, that was back then, this is now. That kind of thing doesn't happen anymore. Or maybe I'm not held to the same standard that the disciples were held. They saw Jesus one-on-one, they were close to him, so he could say, you have to do greater things. You're going to. I'm going to the Father, that's why you'll be able to do greater things. I'm sending the Holy Spirit. And it is easy for me to justify and say, that was the disciples. I do it in different ways now. It's not as hands-on. It's not as in-your-face. It's not as public. It's not as miraculous. And that's okay. He's not asking me to perform miracles. In the context of this, Jesus is saying, those who believe in me will do greater things than these. I don't think he was lying. I don't think Jesus ever sought to trick or mislead people. So if he said, the things that I'm doing, if you believe in me, you'll do greater. Table talk, what great things could or should I be doing? Maybe it's something I've already felt compelled by the Holy Spirit saying, you need to branch out and do this thing for me. Or maybe it's just something as you think today, could or should be doing. What are some of the things you thought you could be doing or should be doing?
Don't litter, be self-disciplined, and be caring.
And be caring.
And also if you don't know, like, if someone worked hard on something and someone else knocked it down and they didn't know how to act, you can teach them.
Ooh, help teach people how to act.
And also, one of my friends had a really good idea.
You want to share your idea? Yeah.
So I think one of the greater things that the disciples did greater than Jesus is Jesus fed the 5,000, where Peter healed the crippled man at the temple.
And that seemed like a pretty great thing.
Yeah, that's actually a good thing.
So there's seven, and that was the very eloquently done and art and good examples. Man, so good. Who else?
In response to this question, we talked a lot about how our church focuses a lot on doing historically. And if we were focused on being with God, being committed, being in connection, the doing will happen naturally as we become closer to God in intimacy. And he'll trust us with more opportunities as we are matured in our faith to handle them. So if we change the mindset from what should I be doing to how should I be being with God today, how should I be being at work today, that kind of leads us into the doing by accident. And then all of a sudden we're involved with things that we weren't ready for a few years before. And that's really important to let it happen in God's timing instead of deciding I should be healing people and I'm running out of the church trying to stop someone's car to heal them. I mean, I think it's important to focus on the being and then God will give us the moments as we're ready.
Right. Yeah, because sometimes you could just say, what should I do or what could I be doing more to do great things for Christ? What's easy for me to do? Okay, those couple of things are pretty easy for me to accomplish. I'll do those. And then as I'm urged to do other things, well, that's not the things I'm focusing on right now. Let me focus on the simple things where if closer I'm getting to Christ and he's compelling me, now it could be a wide array of things that I have to respond, which is harder.
I think we agree with them because, you know, there's a thing that Jesus said, you know, not everybody that says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. And some of the people that weren't going to go and said, you know, we did great miracles in your name. You know, we did all these things in your name. And Jesus said, but I didn't know you. And I have to confess, I can make a big list of things to do. I can come up with a lot of ideas, but I'm powerless to do them. And I really think that one of the things we miss is that waiting for the Holy Spirit and asking for the Holy Spirit, even sensing that we need the Holy Spirit, and then taking the time to seek God and ask for His Spirit in His leading and letting the Spirit lead. God's sheep know His voice, so He has to teach it to us, and that's how He does it, I think.
Mm-hmm. I think there is a interesting balancing point that if you grew up in the Adventist environment, in the Adventist church, there can be the balance between the Holy Spirit guide us and lead us, and also God has given us a brain and the ability to reason and study, and we've found out some really great things that we believe are true. And I don't know what your experience was coming up through this thing or newly joining. Sometimes there's so much great information that I believe a lot of it is true and biblical. But in my past, that's been more emphasized than, and also the Holy Spirit is guiding me and the Holy Spirit is leading you day in and day out. I think sometimes we've decreased the Holy Spirit's emphasis in some churches that I've been involved with. Maybe it's been different for you. So, thank you for sharing that.
When we hear the word great, we often think of spectacular and showy and public things and the miracles, for example. But I don't think Jesus rated His miracles as the greatest thing He did. When He talks about the greatest in the kingdom, He pulls up some little kids mm-hmm. who aren't showy. They're just being who they are. The greatest thing I think I could and should be doing is allowing Christ to work through me, through the gifts He's given me, and really fulfill that. And if it's not showy, I mean, Paul tells his congregations time and again, live quiet lives. You know, just be a witness in the circle you are. He doesn't tell them to go out and evangelize the universe. He says, stay home and be the salt in your place. That's the greatest thing you can do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then we also have, go ye therefore. They have a lot of different messages that all relate to the same thing and are probably at different times for different people. It's what makes sense and the Holy Spirit is compelling us to do.
For me, I work in a place where I'm kind of in a dark corner of a room all day, and then I go home. And a great thing may be something as simple as saying hello to somebody who you know nobody talks to. Saying hello or good morning to them every day. I have seen situations where that has absolutely made a difference in somebody's life. And that things, small things like that have definitely made a difference in my life. But wherever it is that you are, I mean, you could be a work at home something, or you could be in a situation where I'm at, and just being super intentional about how you're living within that environment can be all the difference in the world, and that can be a great thing, because we have to lead by example. And if that's all that people can see, because they might be living that kind of life too, where all they do is home and work in a dark corner of a building somewhere, and if that's all they see and that's their only exposure to any sort of Christ-like element, then that may be the greatest thing that happened to them. Mm-hmm. So something that small can be great.
Very cool. Anyone else? Don't want to cut anybody off. Probably two of the greatest things Jesus did that would not come to my mind initially when you think of Jesus did great things, now you'll do greater, was He sought and He stuck. The culture at the time for when a rabbi is going to get followers to now train up young Jewish boys to then become part of the school of religion, and to learn and grow and one day maybe become a rabbi themselves, is that the child would seek out the master, come to the rabbi to be trained, to be mentored. You know, in the scriptures, Jesus is on the roadside. He's traveling through, and He's looking at people who would never be asked to be a disciple, who if they showed up and said, I want to learn from you, rabbi, there would be some serious conversations before being allowed to, and He went and sought out those people. Intentionally sought them out to say, come with me. And then the second thing was, He stuck with them. Day in, day out. He stuck with annoying people. He stuck with backbiting, fighting people. He stuck with people that any normal human would say, okay, we've had enough. I tried for a while. surely God understands that I'm going to remove myself from these people, and we're just not going to spend as much time together anymore. You're draining the life out of me. But so he actually sought these people out and then stayed with them. The consistency of Christ with people that were extremely difficult to be consistent with, I think, may have been some of the greatest things he ever did outside of our eternal salvation because of his death. That's something that I would like to attain to. Seek out people that I probably wouldn't normally want to seek out and then stick with them. Not as a charity case, not as a one-off, not as I showed up today and I'm going to help you and I'm going to give you a hand, I'll see you later now, but being able to stick with people. I think it was incredible that Jesus could do that. So there's maybe a challenge, a thought throughout. What are the things the Holy Spirit's compelling me to do? Taken from the example of Christ. The other thing that I'd like to throw out there to you, the Adventist Church doesn't normally talk a lot about Lent. We're not quite 40 days from Lent. It's like maybe 45, 46. And normally the challenge for Lent is to remove something from your life during that time so that you can connect better spiritually, connect better socially in your family, outside your family, etc. So if you are already doing that kind of challenge, that's awesome, fantastic, good luck. If you haven't thought about it, what I'd like to suggest is, in the vein of what we've been talking about today, what maybe is the Holy Spirit compelling me to do to take up that challenge of Christ to be greater? During this 40-day-ish Lent, what are some things that you could add to your life? Maybe there are some things you need to remove. Maybe there's a person you need to add. Maybe there's a person you need to remove from your life for 40 days. Maybe there's some consistency, though, that could happen. There's some stick-with-itness that the Holy Spirit might compel you over this time to attempt and to try to add to your life and add to someone else's.